The Genesis Communications Network is sponsored by the U.S. Money Reserve, your exclusive source for gold and silver precious metals. Visit them online at usmoneyreserve.com.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Regardless of what happens here, in all likelihood, we are headed to a contested convention in Cleveland where I'm going to come in with a bunch of delegates. Donald's going to come in with a bunch of delegates. Neither one of us will have gotten a majority. And then it's going to be a battle to see who can earn a majority from the delegates who are elected by the people. And Jimmy, if that happens, I think we're going to be in the much stronger position. I think Donald's highest total will be on the first ballot. And we will naturally, you know, one way to think about it is, where do the Rubio delegates and the Kasich delegates go? And I think they naturally come to us, and I think we'll win a majority at the convention, and then we'll go on and beat Hillary in November.
Well, that's his vision. And as we've talked about before, Scott, you know, what I'm concerned about is the unification of the party. And some people suggest that there's time, you know, to still filter this out. But I have this sense that, you know, the sense of urgency that the party is giving up a lot here in terms of the time that's needed to get that message out there. I mean, let's think about it. You know, you got a candidate like Trump, who has 100% name recall. His brand is so strong, everybody in America knows who Donald Trump is, pretty much. You know, there's people still don't know Ted Cruz. And even though Ted Cruz is doing a good job, I mean, in terms of his ground game and strategy and all that sort of thing, you know, but what we have to understand, and what I'm, you know, understanding and over the years, and I'm you know, politically interested and been involved, you know, I guess maybe all my life, it seems like, in politics, is there's a lot to this game. It's not just having a ground game. And you've heard me say before, it's about the message. The message itself carries the day. I'm still waiting for somebody to come up with that, you know, coalescing message that really gets people excited and, you know, gets them behind, you know, a candidate here.
And the big risk here is that, by all reports, Donald's brought in a lot of voters that haven't been part of the Republican Party before. Mm-hmm. And if you don't work with Donald on something, on a resolution, you risk losing those people.
It's exactly.
The same thing with the Democrats. It's the same thing with the Democrats and Bernie Sanders. If they don't work with Bernie, a lot of those voters, the Bernie voters, have said, we'll go to Trump.
Right. Well, what happens is you also have to think of here, too, Scott, and I thought this was where you were going to, is the down line. How about the other senators and House members who are up for reelection this cycle? What happens to them? What happens in terms of their vulnerability? Because if you have somebody who's used to voting Democrat, they say, okay, well, I'm going to go with Trump at the top line, but I'm used to being Democrat, so I mean, automatically, they're just going to go straight down, you know, D's all the way, and so then you win the presidency, but you forfeited the House and possibly, well, not so much the House, because I think we're pretty well protected. I say we, you know, the Republican Party is pretty well protected there, but I think, you know, certainly the Senate comes into question because there's so many Senate seats up this election cycle.
And it's kind of shown that people don't like to have one party running both things. So, you know, usually you get a Democratic president and people tend to try and turn the House into a Republican, or the Senate and the House into Republicans, things like that. But you're 100% right. I mean, there's more on the line than just the presidency. And for the Republican Party, it feels like that their party itself is on the line here, because if they handle this the wrong way, and up until this point, I feel like they have, and part of it's Donald's fault, because he doesn't seem like he's willing to work with them.
Right.
They could lose their entire party.
No, without a doubt. I mean, this is one of those things that you can do a lot more with friends on the same team than enemies, you know, fighting against you. And that's, I mean, even though Donald Trump, in spite of all that, but, you know, in this particular dogfight, you can get away with it at this level. But on the national scene, different ball game altogether, and I agree with you, Scott. This is Bill Martinez. We've got more to talk about. Stay with us, America. Just about 5 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be The Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that style? Everybody look what's going on. Stop, hey, what's that style? Everybody...
Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez here with you. Good to have you along with us for the ride. 6 minutes after the top of the hour. And our next guest, the one and only Dr. Sebastian Gorka, chairman of the Threat Knowledge Group, who was born in the UK to parents who escaped communism during the Hungarian Revolution of 1956. He's an internationally recognized authority on issues of national security, irregular warfare, terrorism, and democratization. Graduate of the University of London and Cornelius University, Budapest. He was the Koekkoek Fellow at Harvard's John F. Kennedy School of Government. Holds a PhD in political science. In the UK, he served with 22 Company of the Intelligence and Security Group of the British Territorial Army Reserve, but is now a proud American. And he's here. We're going to be talking about his latest book, Defeating Jihad, The Winnable War, which was just released. He explains in his book that the war is not only winnable, but it can be a lot faster than what some people would consider and what they're talking about. This is going to be, I've been looking forward to this conversation with Dr. Gorka, especially in light of last night's interview with the president and Chris Wallace regarding the president's approach to national security. And as he explained last night, and I guess he's been saying all along, is that he doesn't believe in the need to, come out aggressively, that he feels that a very tempered response is the right way to go because it helps, kind of manage the emotions of us here domestically, that, we're not freaking out over terrorism. We're not giving them their due by being affected, by the things that they do. I'm not sure about this, of course, we only hear about it this one time in terms of his philosophy. And you're going, wait a minute here, come on, you got to make this, you're going to have to, be a little bit more of a leader on this and letting people know, okay, what's the reason? Why did you choose to go out and play golf as opposed to, offer a different reaction that would be a little bit more common and understood by Main Street America. And I think last night he explained that. So with us right now is Dr. Sebastian Gorka. Dr. Gorka, always good to have you on with us. How you doing, sir?
Great to be back. Thank you so much.
Well, congratulations on the book, Defeating Jihad, The Winnable War. You address a lot in that book, and the timing couldn't have been better. Did you work out this interview with Chris Wallace in conjunction with the release of your book?
No, I was sitting in my hotel room in New York watching it myself last night. I had no idea.
Well, what did you make of the president's speech? I said that I was caught, and I don't know. His actions, his statements all along have been consistent with what he said. But I think probably for the first time, people heard his temperament about dealing with our national security and dealing with jihad.
Yeah, but at the same time, you've got to watch his delivery was sound, but at the same time, he didn't answer the questions. So it's really, you know, when he was challenged about going off to fundraisers and golfing after attacks such as San Bernardino, he made this kind of, well, we don't want them to cause panic and fear. Sure, we don't want the terrorists to cause panic and fear, but there's a huge difference between not getting panicky and actually going to a golf round. So, again, it was a little bit too political for me and lacked the commander-in-chief air that we would have liked to have seen.
Well, you know, and I thought that if that was the case, if that was his attitude, then there needed to be more conversation than just a one-time explanation on Chris Wallace. I mean, he's pretty good about supporting other issues, right? But there wasn't support to really add gravitas and add support to this philosophy. And I know some people are probably hearing and going, okay, well, I you know, as you say, on the surface, it could make some sense. But, you know, as we know, when it comes to military, Dr. Gorka, the military is there, as one person described, to break things. And sometimes you need to go and break things. And we're being too genteel here with our military, I believe.
Yes, I think if you look at what we've been doing against ISIS the last 3 years, it's really been kind of nibbling at the edges of the problem and not literally going to war. And on top of that, it's not just about the kinetic stuff. It's not just about deploying the military or helping our allies in the region. It's also about leadership. So when there's a threat to the nation, when we see the highest incidence of jihadi violence was last year, so since 9/11, and I detail this in Defeating Jihad, my book, you want to see leadership. You want to see the commander-in-chief get out there and say, what is the problem and what we are going to do about it, not just do, you know, drone strikes without telling anybody he's doing drone strikes. We want to see the White House reassure the people that I've got a plan and I'm going to deal with it. And unfortunately, I just don't see that right now.
And I think that's the critical issue that you point out in your book, that it starts with leadership being able to explain the vision. You know, what is the mission objective here? And how are we moving toward that objective, keeping us up to date? I would say by comparison, I know many people, you know, to this day are very critical of one George W. Bush. But I think, you know, President Bush did a better job by comparison in letting us know how we were coming along with that objective. Now, some may argue, yeah, well, this mission accomplished thing on the battleship, you know, was inaccurate or whatever, you know. But all that said and done, you know, throughout the process, he was keeping us aware of what was, you know, what was happening here.
Look, I agree with part of that. He did play the commander in chief. Absolutely, his strategy wasn't the right strategy, especially when it came to Iraq. But yes, you want to have somebody. It's like being a super CEO. You've got to take responsibility. You've got to be out there, and you've got to be selling the brand. And in this case, the president's brand is a safe America where our citizens can be assured that they're going to defeat this enemy. And unfortunately, in the last 7 years, we really just haven't seen that brand.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Gorka, you brought up something that has always bothered me, and I agree with you in terms of the criticism and the shortfalling of my last analysis here, and that is I always had a problem with Iraq, and my question to Dick Cheney or even the President Bush would be, you know, relevant to why Iraq, not Afghanistan. And I had to, you know, almost come up with a scenario of my own making, and that is that it was better to fight the jihadis in Iraq than in the mountains of Afghanistan. And that could have been explained as a strategic move. I don't know if that was giving up, you know, some, you know, critical information, possibly. I don't know. But I agree, people still to this day, and even when you have Bernie Sanders being so critical and, you know, even Hillary kind of backstopping it a little bit, backwalking it a little bit, because even though she voted for it, was the war in Iraq.
Yeah, listen, Bill, the fact is Afghanistan totally understood that. Iraq, the guy was bad. Remember, Saddam Hussein used chemical weapons against his own people. But that doesn't mean he's necessarily a direct threat to America. If the enemy is global jihadism, and that's what it really is, there are other countries that are much more responsible for the export of that ideology, starting with Saudi Arabia and Pakistan. And we didn't have to invade those countries to deal with it. We could have just dealt with them behind closed doors. So, yeah, I totally agree with you. Afghanistan, completely. Iraq, not so much. And there are other countries that would have been much more important.
And that's a question that still hangs out there, Dr. Gorka. And I don't understand why President Bush or even Dick Cheney directly answers that question and settles it. It's just one of those things where you feel like you don't have all the truth, just like with Benghazi, for example.
Do you run a business and would like to learn how you can get anywhere from 5,000 to 1 million in 60 seconds? Then let me explain. We're called Capify. We've been loaning and advancing money to businesses for the past 13 years. If your business does at least $120,000 a year, gross sales, we can get you more money to run your business. Our terms are simple. Repayment plans are flexible and based on your cash flow. Plus, the paperwork is minimal and the approval process is fast. So in the time you've listened to this commercial, you could have learned if you qualify to get up to $1 million in cold hard cash deposited in your business bank account in a few days based off your revenue. Call Capify now and get the money you need.
800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. 800-217-5107.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now for not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Dr. Joel Wallach here. If you're a baby boomer and you're worried about the big epidemics coming, and I'm not talking about the bird flu or the swine flu, I'm talking about epidemics of Alzheimer's disease, heart disease, obesity, diabetes, arthritis, cancer. That's because the 80 million baby boomers followed all the advice of doctors, and Houston, we have a problem.
See Dr. Wallach live in Farmington, New Mexico, Thursday, May 12th at 7 p.m. Go to www.cdocinfarmington.com. That's www.cdocinfarmington.com.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
In the summertime, when the weather is hot, you can stretch right up and touch the sky. When the weather's fine, you got women on your mind. Have a drink, have a drive, go out and see what you can find.
Join us online at Bill BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, online and in over 270 markets across this country, even around the world, via WWCR on our shortwave affiliate. Good to have you back with us, America. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, a conversation with Dr. Sebastian Gorka continues. We're talking about his latest book, Defeating Jihad, The Winnable War. You know, Dr. Gorka, I've often said that in the absence of fact, opinion rules, and it's real easy to get into all kinds of different ideas and opinions. And I realize that had to be one of the motivations of your book, because you're bringing to reality what America should be doing. Not only America, but it's a really kind of a primer for any kind of government in dealing with jihad, right?
Right, you're absolutely right. So there were like two motivations for writing Defeating Jihad. The first is, you know, based upon my family background. My parents escaped from communist Hungary, and as a kid I really grew up understanding how precious liberty and democracy is, and that, like Reagan said, its loss is only just one generation away. And I recognized in 9/11 and in the new jihadis a new kind of totalitarianism. So they're like fascists, they're like communists, but what they're doing for Allah. So that was the one motivation. And as you rightly point out, the second motivation was, look, we've been doing this now for 15 years, Bill, and we are losing, and there's no excuse. So I really wanted to give a primer based upon all the work I've done with our military, with the Marines, with the Special Forces, and our guys in the FBI to say, look, there is a way to beat these people, and here's my take, here's one person's take on what it's going to what you're going to have to do to beat the jihadis.
And one of the questions that keeps coming over and over again, and you bring up in your book very clearly, is you got to define who your enemy is. We seem to not answer that basic question, right?
Yeah, I mean, rule number one is totally, I mean, Sun Tzu said it over 2,000 years ago. If you want to win, you have to know who you're fighting, and you have to know what you represent. If you don't define the enemy, if you do what this administration does, which is say, hey, terrorism is just the result of lack of education and unemployment, then you're never going to win. Of course that's not true. It's about people who wish to enslave or destroy us. And if you're not allowed to use words like jihad, which they call themselves jihadis, then you're just going to be doing whack-a-mole, I'm afraid.
Well, the very thing the president said that he didn't want to do, and in understanding not only who the enemy is, you also have to understand your own strength and weaknesses and how it matches up against the enemy, correct?
Completely, yeah. A lot of people misquote Sun Tzu, the famous Chinese strategist who wrote the Art of War. They say, you must know the enemy to win. Wrong. That's a misquote. What he said was, if you want to win your wars, you must know both who the enemy is and who you are and what you stand for. And I think we've forgotten that. We've forgotten that America is unique. It's the only nation founded on a principle of freedom and democracy. And we need to understand how special we are and what people like the San Bernardino shooters, the 9/11 hijackers, what they represent and how they wish to take us down.
Well, in this particular case, there is a direct clash of philosophies here, pulling against each other, however way you want to define it. The jihadis believe that they are on a mission from their own God. This is a religious, fervent aspiration and a mission for them that they're on. And we have had a mission all along, and that is to preserve freedom, as you just stated. Those are the two, I believe, disparate benchmarks and the dynamic tensions that we need to understand. And for some reason, we're not understanding because and the thing, I guess, that bothers me a little bit about this, Dr. Gorka, is we have a president who clearly, you know, whether people want to argue whether or not he's a Muslim or not, he clearly, I believe, understands the Muslim faith a lot more than he's willing to be open about. And it's not necessarily playing to our advantage, in my humble opinion.
Look, let's be cautious of the conspiracy theories. But I think Dinesh D'Souza nailed it. We have the first post-American president. This is a man who said, I believe in American exceptionalism the same way the Greeks and the Brits do. Well, that means you don't believe in American exceptionalism. So, you know, it's very hard to believe in America and to fight what is right if you think America is the problem. And it's clear again and again and again from his history in Chicago and elsewhere that we have in the president a man who's really not a fan of America and is in fact more about, you know, multicultural relativism. And as a result, we often relate better to our enemies than really to the values of the founding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because in the process, we're letting go of those solid principles that established America, aren't we?
Yes, we are. We're forgetting what was, you know, in the foundation of the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, how we are made in the image of our Creator, endowed with rights that are anathema to groups like Al Qaeda and ISIS. So everything that the Founding Fathers enshrined in those documents is the 180 opposite of what groups like, you know, ISIS, the Islamic State, believe. And that's why they want to kill us. It's not about, you know, our relationship with Israel or our foreign policy. It's about what we stand for. And that's why this is really an existential threat. And it really is a them or us war. And we cannot negotiate our way out of this bill.
And in the name of multiculturalism, we've opened up our borders. In fact, there was a report here recently and video showing, you know, some bad players, you know, just coming through our borders. I mean, it is a sieve here. So, you know, some would say it still remains an existential threat, but with our borders as porous as they are, I mean, and of course, we've seen what's happening in our country in San Bernardino, which you mentioned earlier. You know, they're here amongst us now.
Let me be clear for your listeners. Please go to my website, thegorkabriefing.com, or to my company's site, which is threatknowledge.org. We have a report up there on the domestic threat of ISIS, and people need to understand this isn't a theory, it's not a hypothesis. In the last year and a half after ISIS declared the caliphate, we have killed or arrested 98 people on U.S. territory linked to ISIS. This isn't a question of when they're coming here. They're already here, and things like the porous border, if you're ISIS, you will be exploiting that mercilessly, and they do.
Well, in your book, you are laying out a desperately needed strategy to win this war on terror, as you say, before it's too late. What do we need to do immediately, Dr. Gorka?
So immediately we have to get politics out of the threat assessment. We can't have censorship of our intelligence community and say things like you can't use the word jihad when you're training our military or our federal law enforcement. So get politics out of it. Number two, we need leadership. We need a president who's going to say, the enemy we face isn't unemployment of people in the Middle East. It's evil incarnate, just like the Nazis, just like the communists. Then we have to put our people back in the theater as advisors. This isn't our war to fight. This must be fought by our Sunni Muslim allies, but they're not going to do it unless our people are there to train and assist them. And lastly, most importantly on the long term, we have to support the brave Muslims who are pushing back already, those reformers in the region risking their life every day on the internet, who we don't touch today because they're talking about religious issues and that's too scary for us. So we need to be honest, we need to help our allies, and we need to help the regions or the countries of the region close with and crush groups like ISIS.
Well, you speak of leadership, of the leadership offings that we have right before us, Dr. Gorka. Who do you feel more comfortable with leading the way into this, you know, into this transition from the Obama administration to who knows what's next?
Look, I work for the Marine Corps University, so I'm not in the business of endorsement. But my wife, Katie Gorka, who's an expert on jihadism, it's well known. She is on the national security team for Senator Cruz. So I think that may answer your question.
Okay. Well, I didn't want to put you in an uncomfortable spot and to cause you to declare something, but hey, we'll let our wives handle that. That's fine. Interesting. Okay. Again, where can people get your book, Dr. Gorka?
The book is available right now on Amazon.com, hardback, audio, and Kindle, and you can also find it at my website, The Gorka Briefing. That's G-O-R-K-A, TheGorkaBriefing.com.
And we'll also link it on our website and feature it at BillMartinezLive.com. Defeating Jihad, Dr. Sebastian.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-437-5914. That's 1-800-437-5914.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-437-5914. That's 1-800-437-5914.
Call today.
Serious investors and traders want to make 81% return in 60 seconds? Use the same secret algorithm professional hedge fund managers use to make billions of dollars of profits. Turn $250 into $4,903 in just 7 clicks of a mouse. Our tool is so simple that my 82-year-old grandmother can use it to make insane stock market profits. Go to BigMoneyBig.com. Watch the free video before the hedge funds make us take it down. BigMoneyBig.com. That's BigMoneyBig.com. From the Robert Allen System. Current returns not indicative of future results.
Hello, I'm Michael Reagan. My father, President Ronald Reagan, believed so strongly in gold that he changed gold ownership forever by bringing back physical gold to the American public, allowing gold coins to be minted and sold to U.S. citizens just like you, starting in 1985. Gold ownership can help protect your financial future, especially when our national debt is spiraling out of control. Many smart Americans have kept their retirements from being wiped out during America's financial crisis thanks to physical gold coins. I strongly urge you to call the U.S. Money Reserve at 1-866-944-GOLD or go online to usmoneyreserve.com. Ask for a special gold guide with new, never-before-released information about gold from the U.S. Money Reserve. Call 1-866-944-GOLD or go online to usmoneyreserve.com. I'm Michael Reagan. Thank you.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Hey, we're back with you, America. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. A little Carlos Santana music. We're kind of looking for some Celtic music here. In a moment, you'll just understand, because our next guest is from Ireland. Cecilia, I would say Ahern. She says Ahern. I want to say it correctly, Cecilia, because, you know, I do want to respect Ireland. I got to tell you, one of my finest vacations was in Ireland, and we had such a great time. We were so blessed to stay at Ashford Castle.
Oh, wow.
And my wife goes, I could live here. I said, yeah, I bet you could, you know. And it was just such a great time there. And in fact, Maureen O'Hara, she happened to be in the area and happened to stop by and was very sweet and gracious.
Wow.
The Irish folks were just wonderful, and we just had a delightful experience there. And it's rumored that I may have a chance, and I'll probably need that break before the Republican National Convention in July. There's an opportunity, maybe a little golfing outing there that supposedly they're trying to work up. So we'll have to see how that works out. So that'll be good.
Oh, that's cool. I'm glad you've had a good experience of Ireland. That will help the interview.
Yeah, well, exactly. Well, and not to mention your body of work that I'm in love with as well. You've been writing since 2004, and your career has just absolutely taken off as a writer, publishing several novels that go from books, and then all of a sudden you're doing TV, you're doing movies, that sort of thing. Most incredible for you, right?
It's been an incredible journey, and I never could have planned this in a million years, but it's, I suppose I just follow the story. So whatever story comes into my head, I feel compelled to write it down on the page, and then all of a sudden all of these other things happen, which are out of my control. But yeah, I'm incredibly lucky. P.S. I Love You was the very first book I wrote.
Right.
And I'm 13 novels later. I'm now I've just published Flawed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And we're going to talk more about Flawed. And of course, you know, P.S. I Love You, Winter Movie, Hilary Swank, Gerard Butler. How could we forget? You know, that is the Friday night date movie, you know, probably one of the all-time best, right?
It is, absolutely. And every time everybody watches it, there's tears. So you need to watch it with a box of tissues beside you. It's and I love the film, and it was such a stellar cast. So that was an incredible experience.
Well, as a novelist, when you write something like this, and then you see it go to the movie, it's like part of your baby is going off, and then now it's being presented in a different medium like that. Did that make you a little nervous, or were you just so excited just that you know, your work was being honored like this?
We're so excited. Like, I did see it as my work being honored, and mm-hmm. I've also seen enough movies that have been adapted from books to know that it is a completely different craft and style, and the story does have to change. So for me, as long as the heart of the story doesn't change, as long as the core characters are there, and as long as they don't mess with the ending, then they're the three kind of things I want to remain the same. It is such an honor, and it raises the book to a new platform, and I suppose it gets a wider audience reading my stories or hearing my stories that never would have before. So I just see it all as such a great positive experience.
Now, Flawed is just being released. It's a novel about public shaming.
Yes.
What were you thinking about when you thought that this was a direction that you wanted to go?
This book just came flying out of my brain at such a pace, I have no idea. I mean, it took 6 weeks to write the first draft, which is the fastest I'd ever written a novel. And it's basically inspired by the fact I believe that we live in a judgmental society, and mm-hmm. one that is so quick to point the finger at people, publicly shame, and just hold people up as an example of what not to do, and really not give people a very clear second chance of moving on with their life, to always be labelled by that one mistake they made. Mm-hmm. And I think I was going online and looking at news story after news story and thinking, who are we tearing apart today for something that we really shouldn't be hearing about, you know, in their personal life? And that's what inspired the story. But obviously, I took it a lot further in the story.
Yes, exactly. Well, kind of like a modern-day Scarlet Letter kind of novel, huh?
Yeah, and I hadn't thought of that when I was writing it, of course, but yes, mm-hmm. you see the comparisons. It's set in a society that doesn't tolerate imperfection, and if people make moral or ethical mistakes, then they're brought to this morality course where there's a committee of judges who brand you flawed. And if you become flawed, you're a second-class citizen, and you have to live life by a totally separate rules. And it's about a 17-year-old girl who is a perfect girl, has a great life, and has big plans ahead of her. But she makes a decision which sees her branded flawed. And it's about her having to go through life labeled as an imperfect person, which is hard for anyone, you know, not least a 17-year-old girl. So mm-hmm. it is kind of my perception of society now. I think we're giving people very little opportunity to get away from mistakes, but it's also a story about how to be how being human is to be flawed, and it's mm-hmm. something that we should embrace.
Exactly. Well, Cecilia, you bring up an excellent point. We live in a rather contentious society, and I think people might be surprised that hearing a novelist from Ireland relating, in such a way that we thought maybe this is just a Western concept, that this is just something, especially, you know, in this season, the political season that we're, you know, up to our elbows in, and some people say, get me out of here. But you know about this. I mean, your father was a former prime minister there in Ireland.
Yeah.
And so he dealt with contention. He dealt with this kind of, kind of conflict of our humanity and the flaws that we all deal with. And out of it, at the end of the day, you got to make sense and advance the community, don't you?
That's it. It's such a timely novel for everything that's going on in the world right now. And I didn't set the novel in Ireland. I created a fictional country. And the reason why I did that was not because I didn't want to point the finger at Ireland. It's because I was pointing the finger at every country. I was pointing the finger at the world, at society. And I don't think we have to look very far, you know, to see regimes in various countries around the world where this is happening. You know, we don't have a morality course where people are being branded, but we certainly have, you know, governments and society that are setting people apart from others who shouldn't, you know, and everyone doesn't have equal rights. And so it is, like, it is about a 17-year-old who's striving for perfection, but it's also about, you know, I think everyone can relate to it. It is about society as a whole.
Yeah. Well, we have an interesting dynamic that has evolved. When I was growing up, Cecilia, it was like you would put people, what they would say, in boxes. And if you had them in boxes and they were well-defined, then we knew how to relate to them. And now today, it's the world has gotten to the point to where they're no longer satisfied that people be in boxes. They want them to be shamed and discredited and invalidated to where their participation in society is no longer acceptable.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is what I'm seeing, you know, from my perspective. Are you seeing the same thing?
Absolutely. I looked at so many, like, I even talked to friends who are working in, you know, corporations, large corporations, and they were telling me that there's such a feeling of one mistake and you're out, a real blame, a blame game that goes on. And that's just in that aspect. And I think people feel like, even as mothers, you know, or fathers, people are constantly nitpicking and pointing out holes in what you're doing. I think we're doing it to each other a lot. And I suppose with the rise of social media, it's easier to shame people, you know, that you can quicker get your word out.
Exactly.
And, you know, the world is, like, talks about things so much faster than they did before. I see it all around me. But I also see the goodness in people. And it is, despite talking about such dark themes, it does eventually reach a hopeful place. So, it's definitely based on fact. And I think a lot of people are saying this dystopian, futuristic world. How horrifying that I'm creating this, but I'm saying, look, it's all around.
No, this is happening now. Yeah. And how much of you is in this?
There's always so much of me in all of the characters.
Right.
But I think that, you know, it's not me as a 17-year-old, but I suppose I'm a kind of mix. I can find parts of myself in Celestine and her sister Juniper. Celestine is a... She follows the rules. She's a logical kind of girl, and her sister's a bit of a rule breaker. So I think I have elements of both.
Right. Well, Cecilia Ahern has been with us. Congratulations on the book. I highly recommend it to everybody. Flawed, a novel about public shaming. Thank you so much for being with us on Bill Martinez Live, Cecilia. Safe travels to you.
Thank you. Enjoy your dog trip.
You got it. 19 minutes before the top of the hour, America. This is Bill Martinez.
Hello. I'm Michael Reagan. My father, President Ronald Reagan, believed so strongly in gold that in 1985, he changed gold ownership forever. Today, our national debt is spiraling out of control, but gold coins could be the answer. Call 1-866-525-GOLD or go online to usmoneyreserve.com to get new, never-before-released information about gold. From the U.S. Money Reserve, call 1-866-525-GOLD.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance. It's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
Why do they dispense little colorful pills that restrict the production of stomach acid? Compromising digestion, leading further to malabsorption, leading even further to bone loss, and many other health complications. Well, at Bill Martinez Live, we support structure and function of digestion with a healthy body digestion pack. Find us at BillMartinezLive.com Longevity or call 855-305-8326. Healthy acid, healthy body. That's 855-305-8326.
Serious investors and traders want to make 81% return in 60 seconds? Use the same secret algorithm professional hedge fund managers use to make billions of dollars of profit. Turn $250 into $4,903 in just 7 clicks of a mouse. Our tool is so simple that my 82-year-old grandmother can use it to make insane stock market profits. Go to richmoneyrich.com. Watch the free video before the hedge funds make us take it down. Richmoneyrich.com. That's richmoneyrich.com.
From the Robert Allen System. Current returns not indicative of future results.
Hey, I rode the elevator with you, but I don't work on the upper floors. I just want to squeeze in there right next to you, so the RFID scanner in my pocket can capture all your personal information. Your debit and credit cards, even your work ID badge. So your identity is now my identity. Going up, so am I.
For over 10 years, ID Stronghold has pioneered RFID blocking wallets and ID badge holders for consumers, the U.S. military, and even the executive office of the president. Shouldn't you be protected too? ID Stronghold wallets cost about the same as wallets in most stores, but give you extra protection.
I'm Wal Augustinowicz, founder and CEO of ID Stronghold. Don't be a victim of electronic pickpocketing. Protect yourself from crimes you can't see with ID Stronghold wallets, card sleeves, and purses.
Visit IDStronghold.com and get the original RFID blocking wallets and badge holders. IDStronghold.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX, or my website, danpilla.com.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez, live.
So speak life, speak life, to the dead and darkest night. Speak life, speak life, when the sun won't shine and you don't know why. Look into the eyes of the brokenhearted. Watch them come alive as soon as you speak hope, you speak love, you speak.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez, live.
Some days the tongue gets twisted. Other days my thoughts just fall apart. I do, I don't, I will, I won't. It's like I'm drowning in the deep. Well, it's crazy to imagine words from my lips as the arms of compassion. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die. So speak life, speak life, to the dead and darkest night. Speak life, speak life, when the sun won't shine and you don't know why. Look into the eyes of the broken heart.
From Maine to Oregon and SoCal to Florida, Bill Martinez live. Bill Martinez live. Listening to Bill Martinez live. Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com. You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
This is before the top of the hour. Welcome back. We're having to, go to alternate plan B here. You know how technical things happen, and you can always tell when you're dealing with a live show because these things don't happen from time to time. Our conversation right now is going to begin with Derek Scissors. He's a resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute, where he studies Asian economic issues and trends. In particular, he focuses on Chinese and Indian economies and U.S. economic relations with China and India. Derek, thank you for coming on Bill Martinez Live. I apologize for the technical difficulty. Thank you for hanging in there with me. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. No problem. As long as you guys can hear me, I'm fine.
Hey, we're connected. We're doing great here. You know, as you and I were talking off air about China and our national, foreign relations, I had kind of hoped that the president, when he was addressing these issues, could have been able to say how much he has learned, over the past 8 years. As a senator, he had a certain perspective about foreign relations, and particularly as it related to China. And, to be able to say, hey, this is, I thought this way because I had limited information. Now I have a broader scope of information. Even today, we've got candidates saying things. So they're not involved in, some of these, private meetings, top secret meetings where, we really understand the dynamics between China and the U.S.
No, they're not. And although, I think you're being too nice to them, which might surprise some people, because I don't think you need to be involved in those private meetings. I think what happens is, as president, you see the whole picture, or you at least try to. We definitely have problems in our relationship with China. The economic relationship is where I focus. There's no question about it. But you also realize that, clothes used to be much more expensive. The reason TVs are so cheap, the reason, poor people have access to computers, the internet, is in large part because those things are produced in China. So we've gotten a lot of benefit out of that to go along with the problems, and I think you see that, or you start to see it when you become president.
Exactly. Well, what concerns me is when, Donald Trump says, well, he's going to, and he's very aggressive with his rhetoric. And like anything else, there's nothing like experience to temper rhetoric, and bring some understanding to it. And by that, I mean experience, direct experience. Like you say, you have an understanding. You've been studying this for a long time, and you see the cause and effect relationship. And it's not just a simple thing to say, hey, we're going to tax the heck out of these guys, and we're going to, do something. You might begin to feather and try to find some sort of leveling of the, of the competitive ground, marketing ground, and landscape. But it's going to take time. It's not anything that's going to happen within one singular administration.
Well, right. I mean, so I'll give you an example. You mentioned he wants to tax them, but that's also taxing us. The people who would pay the tax that Mr. Trump wants to put on would be Americans. It would hurt the Chinese because they'd sell less, but it would also hurt us. I have a more complicated, because it's a complicated issue, proposal, which is we find Chinese firms that are benefiting from stealing intellectual property from American firms, and we punish just them. And the one thing I would say about that is it may be that people don't realize what intellectual property means. It's not just advanced patents. It's anything that the company you work for has that gives them an advantage that the Chinese can steal. Their brand, their technical information, stuff off their server, their business plans, you name it, and they do it. And so that's
exactly
something that really hurts American competitiveness, and it wouldn't be a tax on Americans to punish the Chinese for doing that.
Now, is part of the myth that it's only these unscrupulous businesses and individuals that are doing it, as opposed to the government of China? Because the perception is here in the West that this is a top-down, culture thing.
I don't know. There's a big question about whether the government is doing it. I would say the government is certainly tolerating it. I don't know how much they're involved in commercial espionage as opposed to the usual, military spy stuff. But we have a lot of Chinese companies who benefit from it. So it's not just an isolated set of individuals. This goes from agriculture. You got people digging up seeds in Iowa, all the way to nuclear material. There was an indictment yesterday on that. So it spans a whole range of industries, and there's no way that goes on without the Chinese government at least saying, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Derek, I'm like you. I'm not necessarily one to move to punitive measures as much as I am in coming up with sound policy that incentivizes the right behavior. I think that's the opportunity that we have, whether it's with China or anybody else for that matter, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, first of all, you know, the best thing the U.S. can do always, it's not my area of expertise, but I have to say this because it's so obvious, is get our own policies right, have the best tax policies we can, get our budget in shape, and that's always the best response to anything anyone else does. On the Chinese side, you want to pick out the things that they're really doing wrong that hurt us and punish only those companies, not the ones that are good partners, and certainly not Americans.
What about this myth that, China's currency is a serious problem because they manipulate their currency as if we don't?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the last 10 years, the Chinese currency has either been stable or become more expensive, which is what the currency critics say they want. If you do the most basic statistical work trying to link up China's currency to U.S. trade with China, you get the opposite result of what they say, which is, you know, a cheap Chinese currency seems to be good for the U.S. So you just don't have anything like the evidence that says the currency actually hurts. What people are saying when they say that is, I see problems in our relationship with China, and you and I agree with that, and I'm just going to blame currency. But if we respond on that basis, we're not going to fix the problems because the currency has already become more expensive and it hasn't done the things that people want it to.
Well, are some of these things naturally starting to balance them out relevant to labor? You know, what I'm hearing from, you know, some businesses is that, yes, they moved businesses and operations to China, thinking everything was great because they could get cheaper labor and make sense out of it. But what we're starting to realize is that, it's the cost of doing business is the cost of doing business, whether it's China, the United States, and you have to look at effectiveness, and they're missing the quality labor force that is inherent in the United States versus what's in China. Is that valid?
Yes, and we're going to get production moving out of China. It's already happening. A little bit is coming back here. A little bit's going to Vietnam and so on. That's the way international production works, and the Chinese are now going to be on the other end of it. They don't have our innovation, as you said, and that's the crucial thing. That's why I focus on intellectual property. So another advantage we have over them is energy costs are much cheaper here than they are there. Why? Because we invented fracking, and they still don't know how to do it.
Right.
Even though they've tried to copy it, tried to buy it, tried to steal it. So we have a lot of advantages. Energy's just an example. And as their labor costs go away, production's going to move out of China. If we fix our own policies, you know, a fair amount of that production is going to move here. If we don't fix our own policies, of course, it'll go someplace else.
Exactly. Well, Derek Scissors has been our guest resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute. Derek, thank you for the insight on China. It is a needed conversation that we need to keep going. So we need to have back, especially in light of this political environment where there's a lot of rhetoric and misinformation flying around. Thank you so much for clearing up a lot of these myths. This is Bill Martinez. It is a wrap for us. Have a great weekend. We'll see you for the after show at about 12:15 when we do Mucho Mas Martinez on Facebook Live.
You know, we've seen these crazy diets to lose weight, right? You know, some of us have tried many of them. Well, at Bill Martinez Live, our healthy body weight loss system simply saturates the body with nutrition, bringing down cravings. It's been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Sweating during a good workout at the gym is a release of all 90 essential nutrients, leading to a further deficiency, causing an even greater craving for carbs, sugars, and fats. Diet and exercise cannot curb appetite like saturation of mineral vitamins, amino acids, and essential fatty acids. Stop the weight gain cycle and lose weight the easy way with properly blended, specifically targeted nutrition. Find us at BillMartinezLive.com, Longevity, or call 855-305-8326. Fighting cravings is a losing fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, that's 855-305-8326. 855-305-8326.